Hi there, and good evening. Welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Online, you'll find us at jimbotalk.net, and you can follow me on Twitter at JimboTalks. Many families impacted by some of the deadliest attacks in our country have been reacting to President Obama's new gun control plans, and some Republican presidential candidates are reacting as well, as we learn from Mary Maloney in Washington.
Surrounded by the families and victims from mass shootings, President Obama announced multiple executive actions on gun control.
Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad.
The tighter restrictions are welcome news for those impacted by gun violence.
Everyone in the country needs to be aware and take some action.
For him to have the moral leadership and the courage to state his purposes and share tears with us and the nation is quite moving.
During his speech, President Obama specifically referred to two of his supporters, former Congresswoman and shooting survivor Gabby Giffords and her husband.
It's really we're taking a good step in the right direction.
The issue, however, remains divisive.
Well, I think the end game with a lot of Democrats is to confiscate.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell questions the legality of the executive actions.
Whether the courts will allow what he's announced he's going to do will be interesting to see, because my guess is it will be litigation.
And several Republican presidential candidates are calling this a massive overreach by the president.
It's not going to solve any problems by having the so-called gun show loophole be taken care of by executive order.
When I'm elected president on my first day behind that desk, those orders are gone.
I'm Mary Maloney.
And so with that as a prologue, let's turn to a man we've had on many times before. He is an acknowledged expert on the issue of gun control in this country. Economist and author John Lott is the founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, online at crimeresearch.org. Let's try it again. Crimeresearch.org. All right, John, your reaction. Were there any surprises at all? This had been anticipated for some time.
No, well, Happy New Year. No, I mean, I guess it went a little bit farther than I thought that it might, because really they're claiming that anybody who sells, or virtually anybody who sells even one gun, is likely to be in legal jeopardy here at this point. I have a hard time believing that they're going to make it through the legal challenges, but I'm not really sure that that's what matters to them. They know that it'll take 3, 4, 5 years before any legal conclusion is reached. And so, you know, either Obama's not going to be in office, and as you had quotes from a couple of the candidates promising to Republicans, promise to remove these rules as soon as they get in office, or if you Hillary Clinton win, then, you know, then it'll be up to the courts to see if they're going to finally do something. But yeah, I'll just give you one part of the existing law, and that is, the key thing is, what does it mean to be engaged in business? Because you only have to get a license if you meet certain criteria, and you can read it, it says, the principal objective of livelihood and profit is through the repetitive purchase and resale of firearms. I don't know, that seems pretty clear. It's not just saying that you're engaging in selling guns. It has to be your principal objective of your livelihood, and it has to be essentially the principal profit that you're making. And so how anybody can think that selling one gun is going to, you know, or even 10 guns or whatever it's going to be, is going to be the principal profit that somebody's going to live on for the course of a year, or the principal objective of their livelihood. Now, the president may make an argument policy-wise, and we can talk about that, as I'm sure we will, about whether this makes sense or not. But I just, you know, and there are other qualifications that are in there, too. There are specific carve-outs to protect people who are engaged in personal collections or hobbies. And so this kind of blanket rule that if you buy a gun and then resell it within 4 or 5 months, or if you buy a gun and you resell it while it's still in its box. I mean, I don't get into this collecting of gun stuff, but I know you look at stuff like people who buy dolls, you know, or toys that they collect. they seem to think it's really important that they get kept in the box. Doesn't really make a big deal to me, but apparently the value of these items depend upon whether or not you keep it in its original wrapping. And you have some gun collectors who amazingly are the same way. And so does that mean now that they're going to have to purposely undo what supposedly created some value to them in order to not to be facing felonies?
All certainly very good questions. But the notion that if you sell one gun that you are in the business, I mean, that's patently ridiculous on its face. If you really don't like that, you need to obviously pass a new law. You can't just make it up as you go along, as desperately as this president tries to do so. So that couldn't possibly stand up. I can't believe the most liberal justice on the Supreme Court would let that pass. And if that doesn't pass, then what does that do to the, quote, gun show loophole?
Right. Well, I mean, I suppose, and I guess that's the reason why I was surprised that he went quite that far. I thought he would go and kind of nibble around at the edges a little bit more, but maybe he should get points for boldness or something. I'm not sure. But look, there's, you know, the so-called gun show loopholes that you have some private individuals who aren't registered dealers, because every dealer, no matter whether they sell the gun at their store or whether they sell it at the gun show or they sell it online or wherever they sell it, they have to have a background check conducted for them to transfer the gun. And but if you're a private individual, and, you know, you live in Maryland, you get one rule. You live in Virginia, you're going to get another rule here. But if you live in Virginia, for example, and you're just going to sell the gun to your son or sell it to a neighbor or to somebody else, you know, that's pretty much your business. If you're in Maryland or you're in Washington, D.C., you have to go and seek out a licensed federally licensed firearms dealer to conduct a background check for you to lend it or to sell it or even just to lend it to the person. And so the question is kind of an empirical one. Does this matter? Are criminals able to pretty much go and get guns anyway for the types of things that they're doing? The president, every mass shooting that he's spoken about since at least Newtown has justified pushing these increases in background checks to more private transfers based on stopping these types of attacks. Today was probably his weakest statement there. He said, well, you know, people, you know, maybe we won't stop the recent one or the one before that or the one before that, but we basically have to do something to do this, and that, to him, justifies going and passing these rules. I just wish at one of these press conferences that he's going to be having, maybe on Thursday or whatever at the town hall, that there's somebody that asks him, okay, you've spoken about this many times. Can you point to one of these cases, just one of the cases that you've spoken on, that these rules that you want to put in place would have made a difference? Because I don't think he can. In fact, I don't think, not just the ones he's spoken on, I don't think he can point to any others that occurred in his administration or occurred during George Bush's administration that this would have made a difference.
And something else I noticed, this was when he was getting particularly dewy-eyed, and yes, I am being sarcastic about some of the theatrics that occurred here. I never saw him get that dewy-eyed over issues of terror. It was always off to the golf course. But at one point, he got so dewy-eyed about how this happens in his hometown of Chicago every day. Well, I guess that must be because of the very lax gun laws in Chicago. Care to talk about that?
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, you're laying one up for me there. But it's just, Illinois.
Well, for those who don't know, who missed the sarcasm, some of the toughest gun laws in the country. But go ahead.
Right. Illinois already has the law that he wants to have. So, you know, it's just, I mean, they already have. Any private transfer of a gun has to go through a background check by law. If you don't do that in Illinois, it's a felony. So obviously it hasn't stopped all the street gangs there in Chicago from getting guns. And so, you know, all the guns that they would have received, assuming that they didn't go to a store and buy it, which they haven't been, would have been obtained illegally. And people, have committed a felony for doing that. And yet it's still not stopping those individuals from getting a gun. And Chicago, as you say, has had a very high murder rate. So, I mean, here's the irony. And that is, the president stops in San Bernardino. He talks about the need for these background checks on private transfers. California already has that law. He spoke after the Planned Parenthood attack in Colorado, saying the need to have these laws. Colorado already has these laws. Oregon, you know, so I'm talking about the last 3 months have gotten attention here. Oregon, he spoke out on, visited the people that were there a couple times. He made comments about the need, that how this case showed the need to have these types of regulations. Oregon already has the law. So it's mind-boggling to me that you have these horrible crimes that occur. He's using them to go and justify a law that these places already had, and it didn't stop the attacks that they're supposedly being used to justify to stop.
Please, and, the president is thrashing about here, trying to be morally superior, and you're confusing him with the facts. We'll come back and we'll continue that in a second here. But we all make New Year's resolutions, and then a month later, of course, we're back to our old habits. You can start your year off right by committing to better sleep. How do you do that? You can do what I did. You can get a Casper mattress. Time named it one of the best inventions of 2015. Why? Because it's engineered for the supportive comfort you need, and so are Casper's new pillow and sheets. The dual-layer pillow contains nearly a billion microfibers that adapt to your movements, keep you supported, and cool through the night. No matter how many hours you get, you're guaranteed to get a great night's sleep on Casper. You can try the Casper mattress, sheets, and pillow in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. If you don't love the mattress, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Put Casper to the test for 100 nights with free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com and use code JIM, J-I-M, for $50 toward the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, code JIM, for $50 toward the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply. Back in a moment. Welcome back to the Jimbo Hannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO. We're talking with gun expert John Lott from crimeresearch.org. And we lock and load first with Sharon in Crane, Missouri. Hello, Sharon.
Thank you, Jim. Mr. Lott, you are a national treasure, sir. I thank you so much for your work. One comment,
well,
and then I'm going to ask
you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. I find it disgusting and reprehensible beyond words that this administration and this president can stand up there and cry crocodile tears after participating in something as heinous as Fast and Furious, in which an individual was killed because of his policy and his operation through the Justice Department. Now, I have a question for you, Mr. Lott, if you will address it. Will you please comment on what this is going to mean for privacy with people and their physicians? Because this is going to have a big impact on it.
Right. Well, I mean, you raised an important question. Look, I knew Obama back at Chicago. We both taught at the University of Chicago Law School. We overlapped for about 5 years there. And I remember talking one time when he was president about AIDS and about whether there should be a database or whatever to keep track of people who had AIDS. And I know at that time he was very strongly against the notion of doing that. And the reason was is that it would deter people from getting treatment that they needed and that that could make the problem worse. Seemed like a reasonable point to me to be made. But the question is why that doesn't apply here. I mean, if you have people with mental illness, some could be mild forms of mental illness, but people may be reticent to go and get treatment if they think that their name is going to be going into this national database and there could be repercussions you know, among them, restrictions on things that they can go and do or have, such as whether they can have a gun for defense. I mean, if you look at individuals with mental illness, they actually are less likely than the general population to engage in violence themselves. They're more likely to be victims of violence than the general population. But, you know, the types of people with mental illness who go and do these types of attacks, even if you limit it to something like schizophrenia, you're talking about, you know, tiny hundreds or thousands of a percentage point of individuals who have that illness who engage in any type of really bad violence. And so, you know, it's, I guess the question to me is, why the inconsistency here? Why is it understood that there can be drawbacks with those types of lists in one area, but not even mention it as a concern in another area? Is it just the type of people that are involved or the types of objects that are involved that makes it different? I'm not sure.
It's the liberal agenda and whose ox is getting gored. Consistency is not important when you you have agendas that you follow religiously.
Yeah, no,
in my view.
You're probably right. Yeah, no, I understand. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, sir. And thank you again for all the work you do, Mr. Lott.
Okay.
And Jim,
thanks, Sharon.
Thank you for having all of these good people on the radio.
Thank you, Sharon. Do appreciate that. 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626 on the Bohannon Show. Of the we're going to go through some of the things that he specifically has recommended in these executive actions, but are there any that jump out at you as just screaming to even the most liberal judge, no, you can't do that, Mr. President?
Well, I think most of these rules that go and affect people that sell one gun, you know, whether it's have it in the same wrapping in the same box, or if I go and I have it so that within like 4 or 5 months after buying it, you know, I decide I want to resell it. I just have a hard time believing a judge is going to look at it and say, okay, this guy bought a gun. Within 4 or 5 months, he's decided he didn't want it in his collection or what have you, and so he resold it. And that's going to indicate that this is his, you know, general purpose, you know, his principal objective of livelihood because he did that. I just have a hard time. There are other things in there, like if you have a credit card reader on your, you know, attached to your cell phone. I have one of those. I've had it so that when somebody owed me money, I set it up and they paid me with their credit card. Now, if I use that to go and sell a gun that I would have, according to just even one gun, even if I were to use it for other activities much more, according to the president, I've committed a felony and I could be arrested and go to jail for that. You know, I just have a hard time believing a lot of these things are going to stand. And, but, you know, it's the whole list of these little tiny rules that are there that, you know, I'm sure some lawyer in the White House thought that they were struck on something.
Well, we're going to go through those one by one here in just a moment. Stay with us.